I can't sleep. I just lie here tossing and turning on this bed, wondering, wondering.
Can I do anything?
Possibly.
Relax, dear heart. Let's snuggle down together. Sleep, my love. Sleep.
Look, mistress, after I close in, are you going to borrow the bed or not?
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Joan Sims in...
No, stop messing about.
Hello and welcome. You're probably wondering why I asked you all to be by your radios today. Well, it's to let you know that I finally decided to hold it in the Albert Hall. Yes, on Sunday next.
Oh, I must try and get along.
Yes, yes. Bring your friends. It'll be a grand rally of all quack members.
Quack?
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 Yes, Ducky. Yes, the Kenneth Williams Admiration Club. And we all have a secret sign. So that we can recognise each other in the street.
I've seen it.
Hey?
I've seen it, dear, and it's no secret.
Excuse me while I hand out leaflets to the studio audience. Sandy, yes, my guy,
listen. How many fans has he got?
Oh, well, they held the last meeting in a telephone box, so work it out for yourself. Apparently they're demanding that he gets a knighthood for his services to the stage this year.
But he hasn't been on the stage this year. Oh, I see what they're getting at.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. I've added him around the audience. After all that talk, I feel a little hoarse.
Little hoarse?
Yes, and I, Douglas Smith, play the rear half. Any volunteers for the front?
Yes, a coca.
Well, now, the scene changes to somewhere in Clapham, or thereabouts. The time is the present, or soon after, as we bring you the passion-packed, heart-throbbing, tear-jerking tale of our star-crossed lovers, Meg and Tone.
Where are you, my crystallized rosebud? Run. Run, run to the arms of your gypsy paramour who stands ready and waiting to rattle the cherries on your hat.
Hello, cheeky.
And about time. Well, here we go. Here, how long have we got?
We'll have to be quick, because I left me old fella in the bathtub.
Ah, giving him a soak, are you?
Giving him a good soak.
He could do with it.
Yes. And I don't want his suspicions around.
No.
He'll create like 1 o'clock if he gets wind.
He gets that anyway. I don't know what keeps you two together. Burn your boats, beloved, and we'll run off to Weymouth. Weymouth, my Auntie Doris does bed and breakfast there.
But I can't leave him now. He'll never get out of the bath without me to give him an eave.
No.
I must stand by him. It's the war what made him what he is today. Took sudden by the blitz he was.
Yes, I know all about him and his trouble with the blast.
Yes, terrible thing, blast. Yes. Goes round corners.
Went round his all right. Now blew him off his bike in the middle of Chiswick Mound.
Yes, blew him clean off.
Ruined his centre of gravity.
It did. Oh, you should see it now.
I don't want to. Thank you. It's yours I'm interested in.
Yes.
I want to catch you off balance, my pomegranate. My little desert idol vice, my flag of all nations.
Yes, never mind all that. I'll have to get back to him in a minute to top him up with ox.
Oh, well, here we go then.
Here we go.
I want you to be my rose, my jewel, my one and only.
Well, 2 pints of pasteurised and a yoghurt.
After that mishmash of frivolity, we turn to our problem corner. And just coming out of the corner is the man with this week's most interesting problem.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse Partner, and my problem is that I am I am haunted.
By whom, or should I say what?
I haven't finished. I have this strange horror of cabinets because my mother was frightened by a tall boy. So every time the doorbell rings, I rush blindly upstairs and hide. That's why I'm covered with bruises.
I don't quite follow.
But I live in a bungalow.
What a tragic story. Have you done anything about it?
Yes. I purchased a tin hat and disconnected the bell.
Well, that ought to solve your problem.
Yes, but I've got another one now which is causing me even more grief and suffering.
And what's that?
I hardly like to say it out loud.
Well, then whisper it.
You're standing on my foot.
Once again, it's Crackerjack and Horry with Mother Time. So settle down comfortably on the nearest toadstool, because here comes Maud Nethersole.
Hello, Tinies, and Biggies too. And a special hello to whoever it was that sent me a lovely drawing of his engine. If you ask me, he's almost a biggie. It's such a good drawing. Now, here's another story of Mr. Pimble, the friendly postman. When Mr. Pimble came home from work, his wife said, "Guess what I've got in the oven?" And Mr. Pimble sniffed and said hopefully, "An old tweed coat." "Wrong," said his wife. "It's one of those radio recipes, and for the first course, I've made soup out of the aerial." But just as they sat down to eat, there came a ring at the door, which surprised them a lot, as they hadn't got a doorbell. And into the kitchen marched seven dwarfs and an anemic-looking girl who would keep singing. About a set of prints that she'd ordered. And the biggest dwarf cleared his medium-sized throat and said, "I see," said Mr. Pimble. "I'm sorry to hear that you've lost your way and that war has been declared and that it's raining. You'd better stay to supper." So they did. "Good boy," said Mr. Pimble when they left. "Funny boy, mama, funny boy," said the dwarfs, hailing a passing pumpkin. And that night, on the stroke of 12, the woman next door changed from a gorilla into a fairy prince, which gave her husband a nervous breakdown. Because he just got her a lovely bunch of coconuts. And now it's time that we had a little song. I gave my love an apple. I gave my love a plum. He said, "Well, thank you kindly, but I hope there's more to come." Singing hey down, diddy diddy down. I gave my love a grapefruit and then a tangerine. He said, "They're quite delicious, but that isn't what I mean." Singing hey down, diddy diddy down. I gave my love a melon. I gave my love a pear. He said, "You're getting warmer, but I'm afraid you're not quite there." Singing hey down, diddy diddy down. And now my love has left me. He went off in the dark, 'cause I gave him a banana and he made a rude remark. Singing hey down, diddy, which was quite unnecessary. Singing hey down, diddy diddy down.
And now, fresh from his triumphal season at Madame Tussauds, it's Douglas Smith
with my pull-out supplement. on page one, next to the advertisement for McWhirter's Snuff, the snuff for busy mothers.
13 million housewives think there's nothing like a pinch behind the kitchen sink.
We find our hints on health.
Last Tuesday, I blew 3 perfect smoke rings.
What's the problem?
I gave up cigarettes years ago.
I'm a great believer in the therapeutic qualities of Cenapod tea, and I...
And there the letter ends abruptly. Next.
With the increased charges on false teeth and spectacles, I am having to compromise.
How?
I wear my bifocals in my mouth.
Next.
I'm 98 years old, and my young wife is expecting. It worries me.
I see. Have you by any chance got a young lodger?
Yes.
I'm afraid that explains it.
Not really. She's expecting as well.
Yesterday I swallowed 0.5 crown.
And?
A packet of fags shot out my ear.
That's fantastic.
You should see the version the producer cut out.
In this week's edition of Vardying Back, we welcome a man from the Ministry... I beg your pardon. A man from the Ministry of Defence Naval Section, who is going to tell us about the men who go down to the sea in ships.
Oh, hello. I'm the Rear Admiral in charge of Naval Defence, and this is my old shipmate, Flora.
Oh, hello! Our very Shenandoah to Vardy, a salty old bosun's whistle.
Welcome aboard.
Oh, get in. Oh, come in the nautical Polari.
And may I say, it's the first time I've met a naval officer called Flora.
Oh, damn.
Well, it's not his name, love, it's his job.
Of course.
Flora, First Lord of Recreations and Amenities. His real name's Evelyn.
Yeah.
And it's very taxing work being a Flora.
I'll say.
Oh, finding things for the lads to do when they come ashore. Oh, they want more than a cup of tea and a sing-song of the YMCA. Huh? I can tell you.
Yes, they want it at the YW. Yeah. But first pair... We know how they feel, don't we?
Oh, we do. Yeah. We've got first-hand experience of the actual needs. No, the actual needs of, you see, going that low.
Yes.
Of course, there's a lot of traditions in the Navy.
Oh, many, mm-hmm. Yes. Like you always have to run across the quarter deck.
Mm, one look at the quartermaster was enough for me. Yeah. Remember when he had that tattoo?
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen Rule Britannia written so small.
Then on the other arm, he had this... No, on the other arm, he had this mermaid giving herself her own perm. Nice.
Yes, I suppose between you, you've seen quite a lot of action.
Oh, you can say that again.
Yeah. Tell him what happened the first time you went cruising.
Go on, tell
him what happened.
No, modesty forbids.
Go on, brazen it out. Get it out. Go on, it's time it was made public.
Seems so boastful.
There's nothing to be ashamed of, Ducky. You did it for England.
I did, yes, I did.
That's true, you did. So tell England what it was you did.
Very well, I will. Go on. Well, we was doing this cruise around the Mediterranean, you see, showing the flag.
And in those days, there was plenty wanted to see it.
Yes. And then one of these pretty officers...
Petty! You great custard, you.
Never could tell the difference. You keep on interrupting me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you expect?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I get flustered.
Pardon me for
flummoxed.
Go on.
No.
Tell her.
Well, one of these petty officers, he kept on picking on me.
Yes, he did. He was picking on him.
Picking on me all the time.
Well, tell him his name. Tell him his name.
No, I can't.
Oh, no. It was Clint.
Clint.
It was Clint. Yes.
Yeah.
Petty Officer Clint.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a hard man.
Mm.
Oh, hard. Got nice hands, though. Any road up, he details me off to scrub out the stoker's mess.
So you rolled up your sleeves, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and me bell-bottom.
And took off your lanyard.
Yes. I scoured the place from stem to stern. Then I had a quick dust all round the ditty boxes.
Polished all their bobs and bits.
Yes, set the table for tea, nice clean doilies, and folded all the table napkins, all like little water lilies.
All the napkins like water lilies.
Lovely. Yes.
Lovely, enough to gladden the heart of any stoker.
Yes. Then when I was in the galley making the tea, I just got there making the tea, suddenly, crunch.
Crunch, crunch.
Exactly.
Yes. They struck an iceberg.
An iceberg in the Mediterranean.
Well, I said we should have turned left at the Isle of Wight, but would they listen?
No.
No, they didn't want to.
And the whole ship starts to keel over. Tea leaves everywhere.
All over the place.
The water starts creeping up his lallies.
Oh,
yes, but does he desert his post? No.
No.
Suddenly the door bursts open. And it's Clint. It was Clint.
Clint.
Clint coming to save him. But will he be saved, will he?
No. No, I won't. Not by him.
No, he won't. Clint pleads with him.
Oh, no, I've treated you bad, lad. No, I've treated you bad, lad. But the ship is sinking. I order you to take to the boats.
And what was your reply?
I'm not going with you, I said. No. I'm not going. I'm not leaving this galley.
And tell him why.
I can't.
Go on. No. Tell him why you wouldn't abandon the ship and leave your galley. Tell him why.
Well, I just got this lovely jam sponge in the oven.
And now let music fill the air and sweet old songs be sung.
Oh, beautiful, Douglas.
Thank you, Miss Sims. Unfortunately, we don't have any sweet old singers. So here to bridge the gap are Peter, Paul and Mrs. Nosepoltice.
Oh, pleased fella.
To meet you.
I'm uptight, man, uptight.
I am sorry. I hope you're not too uptight to sing.
Oh, well, he'll be all right when he slackens off his braces. Today we bring you a lilting Scottish song from the Highlands. There's the Channel Highlands.
Splendid. Loosen your jerseys and off we go. I don't know how they think it up.
On an island up in Scotland, in a tiny button bin,
lived a person called Macpherson.
Quite the nastiest of men.
Always cursing was Macpherson, doing things he didn't ought.
Tossing cabers at the neighbours.
And his kilt was far too short.
Kindly drop it, kindly stop it,
said the neighbours one and all.
But Macpherson seemed to worsen.
Shoved a haggis in the hole.
So they shot him and they got him as he wandered o'er the prey.
If he'd only worn a sporran,
he'd have been alive today.
And so we come to our film adaptation.
Yes,
this week, a story of the San Francisco Police Department. With Hugh Paddock playing the McQueen part. We proudly present Pull It!
Yeah, that's me, Detective Lieutenant Frank Pullet, FBI.
Fat, balding, and insecure.
As the story opens, I'm in my automobile with my girlfriend, Sue. I'm looking for the freeway.
Oh, look, Frank. Oh, look, Frank, your little bleep is flashing. What does it mean?
Message from headquarters.
R-17, what is your position?
Well, I'm sort of sprawled across the front seat with the gear lever jammed.
Yeah. Well, it's murder, Lieutenant.
You're telling me.
A man named Big Lou has been killed in Mother Brown's downtown bar. Get over there.
Mother Brown's downtown bar, 5 minutes later. Lieutenant Pullet kicked open the door, reached for his police special, and waved it at the assembled company.
Okay, you guys, hands up. You, Mother Brown, knees up. I understand there's a big low in here.
Down the passage and second on the left, but he's dead.
I saw it all, mister.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I showed my badge to the little guy. He looked impressed.
Oh, you're an Ovaltini, too.
Okay, give me the facts. Start at the beginning.
Well, I come in here and had a few beers, then I shot a little pool, and then it happened. Yes, that big... Shut up. That big Lou staggered in here with half a dozen hatchets in his head.
Did he say anything before he died?
Yes, he did. He asked if we had any aspirins.
This is obviously the work of that evil organization known as the NAFIA.
At this point, I, Douglas Smith, step forward to play the NAFIA, a criminal offshoot of the NAFI. There's one man behind me, and that's quite enough as far as I'm concerned. A man whose name is on everybody's tongue and sends a chill through them.
No, that is me, Arturo Isololi. I was the first. I was the one who buried the six hatchets in a big loose ahead. Just a friendly warning. Right now, I'm in my luxury penthouse with a cute tomato on my lap. Well, I'm a messy eater.
Gee, Arturo, how can you stay so calm when Lieutenant Pullet's on your tail?
It ain't easy, but I got something that's never let me down, baby. Yeah. You see this? It ain't no banana.
Yes, it is.
What?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you're right. It's a banana. You know what this means?
You just eaten your gun.
Okay, Arturo, this is it.
So I see.
He didn't do it, Copper. He didn't do it. He didn't do it, I tell you. Won't you believe me? He didn't do it. I think he would have done it if you hadn't come in.
I'm not going to fix you, Copper.
Arturo whipped out a pair of knuckle dusters and sprang forward.
Oh, yeah, that's better. I hate dusty knuckles. Now, what do you want, a cop?
You're coming with me down to the station.
Oh, good. We can collect train numbers.
Police station.
Well, Arturo got away through the window. Lieutenant Pullet began the search for him. He searched high, he searched low.
Oh, so simple.
And all the time he had to protect his one witness.
Yeah, Lieutenant, why have you brought me up to this hotel room?
It's for your own good.
Oh, I see.
Arturo will try to bump you off before you can put a finger on him. I'm going after him. You keep this door locked and don't open it to anybody.
Right.
I meant after I've gone out.
Suit yourself.
Oh, Frank, in your ceaseless fight against crime, you don't have time for me anymore.
I do too, Sue.
30 seconds every Tuesday. It's not enough. Just a brief snatch.
I know, Sue, but I've got to find Arturo. The way I see it, he'll be in the last place I'll think of looking. So I'll look there first and leave the first place I was thinking of looking till the last.
But, Frank, if you look in the last place you think of looking in first, it'll be the first place you thought of looking in.
Now, she's got a point. In the first place, the last place is this flat, and that's where I am, isn't it? So hands up, cop. I got a gun in your back.
Oh, yeah? Hands up yourself, Arturo. I got a gun in your back.
Quick change of voice. Oh, yeah, hands up yourself, Sue. I got a gun in your back.
Oh, yeah, hands up yourself, miss. I got a gun in your back.
And as far as we know, they're all still there. And so we leave San Francisco as the show sinks slowly in the ratings. And to stop messing about, Ed, spawn forward with the theme song of our film.
San Francisco, USA.
Pullet lives there by the bay.
My height is just 4 foot bottom to top.
The people, they all say, look at him, he's not match cop.
And from the cases he has took, I've only ever caught one crook. He'd not return his library book. I'd even let one go away.
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook and Miles Rutch. The producer was John Simmons.